We're going to go on to this tape for about another 20 minutes just to make sure that all is well. Dr. Levinson, would you just say your name again and we'll check to see that this is working correctly.
Julian P. Levinson.
Thank you. Okay. We were talking about Dr. Sheedy suggesting to you that you might want to apply to Mayo for your specialization of cardiology. Did you have any question? Because as I recall, Mayo was not drawing in a lot of Jewish people at that time. Is that right?
Yes.
But you didn't, they knew you were Jewish.
No question. I'll tell you an interesting story about that later.
You can tell us right now. I'd like to hear.
Well, the story is that when we had a fellows association. Mm-hmm. Because most of the fellows were not married at the time. I think we had about 200 fellows. And this one year I became the president of this fellows association.
What does a fellows association mean?
Well, it was a loose thing. It was formed because we had a thing called the Wilson Club. Wilson, the name Wilson was used because the head of the Mayo Clinic, first head was, when I was up there, was a man by the name of Wilson. And the fellows would have breakfast and lunch at this house, and it was right across the street from the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And about four times a year we would have a dance that fellows would come to, and we paid dues. And somebody had to run it and so forth. So we had, that was my job. Anyhow, each year the B'nai B'rith sponsored high holiday services. And they were held at the Mayo Civic Auditorium. And so I was called by the foundation office and the young woman who called me in from B'nai B'rith said, we want you to get the names of the fellows that we can invite to these services. So I went up to the foundation office, and the young woman up there told me, we have two groups of Jewish men here. Mm-hmm. These men are Jewish, and these other men are Jewish and don't want it to be known that they're Jewish.
Oh, my.
And it was interesting to me because in the rooming house where I roomed up there, we had a young man from Brooklyn, New York. His name was Aaron Lichtman. And Lichtman, L-I-C-H-T-M-A-N. And, you know, he, to look at him and that name, he was absolutely Jewish. So I confronted him with
him. Oh, really? Good for you.
And he said, well, I want to do what I want to do, and I'm not interested in any high holiday services. So I dropped it. But that was an interesting experience.
Did you know some of the other fellows who didn't want to be known as Jewish?
There weren't that many there.
No.
I knew. I think out of our 200, we had 7 or 8 Jewish. Mm-hmm.
So the B'nai B'rith provided services?
Yes, high holiday.
Yeah, was that just for these fellows or for anybody in the community?
Anybody in the community also.
Oh,
yeah, that was it.
Was there a Jewish community near Mayo?
Minimal.
Yeah, I would think so. Did you have any difficulty because you were Jewish?
No. Mm-hmm. I had one interesting experience.
Yeah.
And I had a circle of friends. And I must say that my friends were 95% Gentile. Mm-hmm. And we had a park near where I roomed, which had a swimming pool and a golf course, and we were allowed to use it. So I was there with a group of my friends from Rochester, and they were talking, and someone made some comment about those Jews from Chicago.
Uh-oh.
And then he looked at me and said, oh, I'm sorry. So it was interesting to me because in the years of the Depression, one of the things that kept the Mayo Clinic alive was all of the Jewish people they got from Chicago as patients.
Oh, really? Oh.
So
there was still negative feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Did you meet any Jews in that community? Or didn't you get out there?
I only knew one.
I see.
He had a men's store. But he didn't practice in 2 days.
Yeah. But you didn't really, you didn't, for example, and members of the Jewish community didn't invite you for a Yontif dinner.
No. I got invited to a lot of doctors' houses.
Oh, Jewish doctors?
No.
Or just any doctors? Non-Jewish?
Non-Jewish. I don't recall a single man on the staff that was Jewish. There was one man who was said to be Jewish, but no.
You're not sure?
No.
But there wasn't any kind of thing where somebody trying to take you under his wing because you're one of
the fellows. No, I got invited to doctors' houses because they had eligible daughters.
Oh! I see. Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
Tell me, when you were at school, were there well-known cardiologists who were your
mentors? Oh, yes.
Do you know something?
There was doctor in St. Louis by the name of Arthur Strauss, who was a prominent cardiologist there. And as a matter of fact, I elected in my senior year to take a cardiac clinic and a course in electrocardiography as electives in my senior year. And Arthur Strauss was my man that I looked up to as a cardiologist at that time.
Were there other people there who had become well known in the field?
Of cardiology?
Yes.
Well, there was another man by the name of Drew Luton, L-U-T-E-N, who he wasn't Jewish, but he was
well known. Did any of your colleagues, fellow young men, become well-known in the field of cardiology in other cities other than Pittsburgh? You're known here, but I wonder in other places.
I don't recall any of them
no.
in cardiology.
Were there a lot of fellows in cardiology?
Well, you mean students?
Yes.
Not a great number. Maybe 10 or 12 out of my class.
I didn't know that Mayo was known for cardiology.
Yeah.
It was. And probably was better known than Boston's setup?
No.
They were still at that time tops.
But there were men in the Mayo Clinic who were, you know, very well known in the field of cardiology. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you
they didn't get the publicity like Dr. White got with President Eisenhower.
Yes, right. Well, you have to treat a famous person.
Yeah.
When you finished at Mayo, then you came back to Pittsburgh to practice?
Yes.
And at that time, your parents moved into Pittsburgh?
Yes.
And were your parents able to get around at that time, or were they confined to their home because of their cardiac conditions?
Well, my father was one of those men who wouldn't tell you if he was having anything problems. But
no pain. No pain, no discomfort.
Well, that's...
Yeah.
But I witnessed a couple of things.
You did.
Yeah. And he died at home.
He did.
Yeah. That time we didn't have any coronary care units or bypasses or anything like that.
Yeah, no emergency where you could bring him in and get him treated. Were you his physician?
Yes, I did try to get him to see somebody else too. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't rush them right to the hospital when they had a cardiac condition?
Not like we do today.
Must have been very hard for you to stand back and watch, knowing that this was your specialization and there's nothing you can do.
That's right.
When did he die, up there, was in what year?
1958.
And he was, had this condition for how long?
I'd say about 15 years.
Was his condition such that if he were here today, something could have been done?
Well, I
mean, you knew what
kind of hindsight is always better.
No. I meant in terms of technical knowledge.
Oh, yes, there's no question.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah.
And how about your mom?
Well, she had a condition called paroxysmal tachycardia, which in itself is not a life-threatening thing. But I think she had, in her later years, a series of small strokes that became mentally incapacitated. She died at the age of 80.
How old was your dad?
69.
He was young. But
yeah.
Did you take care, were you her doctor too?
Yes.
That's another thing that's hard, that somebody that you know seems not with it. Did she live by herself?
No, she lived in a duplex. My sister lived on one floor and she lived on the other.
I see.
A two-story duplex.
So she had somebody with her all the
time.
Yeah,
and we had a lady with her all the time the last few years of her life.
Now, once you came back to Pittsburgh and you went into practice, did you go in by yourself?
Yes.
Yes. So you ran the office yourself?
Yes.
Where were you located?
Jenkins Building.
Oh, downtown. That was the place to go. Oakland was not the medical center
that's
at that
right.
time?
That's right.
It wasn't?
Right.
Was Presby up in Oakland?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wanted to work at the Fall Clinic, the cardiac clinic in Fall. And the man in charge at the time said they didn't have enough patients to take on another man.
Wow. Times have changed.
Yes.
Either that or he didn't want somebody.
Well, a few years later, I became the head of the cardiac clinic.
Oh, you did? Was that a non-Jewish? Well, Falk was Jewish.
Well, Falk was Jewish.
He gave him money.
Yes, that clinic was named after Leon Falk, but
that didn't affect the people who were running. So what year did you open your office, 45, downtown?
Right.
At the Jenkins Arcade?
Yeah.
That time, that was a very busy place with many doctors, I presume.
Right. Well, it was interesting because the elevator man saw that I wasn't seeing many people, and so he brought a patient up, and the patient had a boil. And I said, I'm sorry.
You don't get boils.
I sent him to Joe Feingold, who was in the Jenkins Building.
How does one get started in an office by himself? Not known particularly.
Well,
how do you get started there?
Mainly through a patient referral.
I see.
I got a few patients, and they told somebody else. Told somebody else. I even at the Montefiore Hospital, it was interesting to me that I would meet with one of the doctors there, and he would present a case to me. In a theoretical case.
Right.
It was his case, and he was getting my input.
I see.
That's the kind of thing that. Well, I would get a call from a doctor to go out and pronounce one of his patients dead or something like that.
That wasn't really what you were practicing.
Right.
Did you know many of the physicians here who could give you referrals?
There were two physicians that had invited me to come and work in their office.
Oh, they did.
But I didn't like the arrangements, and I had enough backing that I could start my own office. Didn't take any.
One last question before we stop. Was cardiology, you know, was a specialty. Specialties are more prominent today. Were they as prominent in 1945?
There were men practicing specialties who didn't have any certification. Mm-hmm. There were men who had received, for example, their certification in internal medicine merely on the basis that they had been practicing a number of years. And I think that I was the first man at Montefiore to have become certified in internal medicine by taking boards. Oh, I want to make one correction. My father died in 1955 instead of 58. I think back.
Right. But you were one of the few who was certified because of your education.
That's right. Uh-huh. And taking examination. Uh-huh. Boards.
Yes. Were other specialties in the same position as you were in terms of other specialties where they weren't really certified, they were just practicing?
Well, some of them, as I said, received certification mm-hmm. when the boards were first started just because they had been
this
work for a number of years.
I see. So they had certification.
Yeah, without examination.
Now, where you said you were at Montefiore?
Yes.
Were there other hospitals in which you...
Well, I started out at Montefiore and then later went on the staff at Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. And I was on the staff at McGee, consulting staff at McGee. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you stayed in the Jenkins Arcade until what year? How long were you there?
Let's see, I think about 5 years.
Before you moved?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, let's pick up from there the next time. How about that?
Okay.
You've done real well. Talked a long time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You better check the machine.